Good evening. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you're here visiting with us, a special welcome to you. Great to have you here. This evening, of course, we celebrate the first day of the season of Lent, Ash Wednesday. And I might just mention to you by way of note that our annual report, preparing for our annual meeting on the 16th of March, is now finished. There are some copies on the back table if you're interested in having one, and it's also available on our website, so you might just take note of that. Is there anything else that we need to announce? If you're joining us by way of the YouTube live stream, we welcome you, and if you're going to be listening in to the recorded audio podcast, we welcome you as well. If you're online and watching, John Lowndes is on video tonight, and he'd be happy to hear from you by way of the chat, so let us know that you're there. The service this evening is from the Green Colored Book of Alternative Services. And we continue now with the Collect of the Day, page 281.
As we stand, we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our brokenness, may obtain of you the glory, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the Old Testament reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight in my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the spreading of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says, "At an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you." See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that the alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. Do not stir up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth can consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. This is the gospel of Christ.
You are dust, and to dust you shall return. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And as if those words are not stark enough on their own, you're going to be invited to literally have your face rubbed in it. It's possible, even recommended, that you get up close and personal with a statement that represents a reality that, on the surface, may be one of the most difficult notions we ever have or should have as a human being. It's about our very survival. And the news, well, it's not pretty. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. I knew a congregation that one Sunday decided to make an extra special effort to invite the neighbors around their church to join them for worship. There were bright posters with "Welcome" in large letters on almost every pole and corner in the neighborhood. Similarly, those same red letters had been made into a giant banner that stretched from one side of the churchyard to the other. There were balloons at the end of the driveway. A tent was raised alongside the church to signal that this was a special event and served also to guarantee comfort if it should happen to shower. All that sounds like how we would issue an invitation to a great party. Come, welcome one and all. And on that particular day, many did. We begin, says the invitation today, a journey from ashes to Easter. We're invited to observation, self-examination, penitence, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and reading and meditating on the Word of God. On the surface, that doesn't sound to me like a particularly good time. Come along, everyone. Let's grovel and give and do our best to make up for the past shortcomings, wallow in our grief for all we've ever done wrong, and all the while, let's use some of the cheeriest words we know. Iniquity, transgression, sin, sacrifice, wickedness, and judgment. But still, there's something compelling about Ash Wednesday. Many will make their way to churches today. The ritual will bear a similarity to what the church has been doing for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. Ever since the bottom fell out of the sackcloth and ashes business, we've not known quite what to do about Lent, says preacher Andrew Clavier. What do I give up? Seems to be the primary question, which is actually an inversion of Jesus' call for us to give. And quite true it is. While the Ash Wednesday invitation calls us to do, we've often interpreted that as a suggestion that we give up something for Lent. It's suspiciously convenient to do that, too. Usually what we give up has a bit of a boomerang effect built in. That is, while it may be a little difficult at first, it eventually benefits us. So we give up chocolate or bourbon. That's an easy one this year, isn't it? Or we give up desserts and our health improves because of it. And so it's a win-win, we might say, for us. For as long as I can remember, there's been this radically new thought that instead of giving up during Lent, we might consider taking something on. But it's not new. Actually, Jesus was among the first to recommend it. So if there's something compelling about Ash Wednesday, what is it? There are upsides to dust. You don't actually need to look very deeply to find them either. Some who think long and hard about such things will usually be very willing to offer a surprisingly long list. Maybe first on that list could be honesty. We may not enjoy hearing it, but we've known it all along. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. There's little in life more certain than the fact that the stuff of which our bodies are made will return to the dust from whence they came. It's tempting to view that as something morbid or unnecessarily depressing. Who wants to be confronted by their own death? Where's the good news in that? We certainly don't put balloons in the driveway when we arrange to have a funeral inside. But then again, maybe we should. Some choose to live lives built on a best friend relationship with the father of lies. Choices include the enticement that the long-term gain of the truth can be beat by the short-term comfort of self-preservation, social acceptance, personal gain, manipulation, avoidance of conflict, or social acceptance. There's a freedom that comes with honesty. And then there's the recognition of the true miracle that our dust represents. Out of entirely random particles, we are woven together in such a way as to not only be alive, to be a functioning organism, a miracle in itself, but also one that is self-aware, conscious. The human person is far more than the sum of its parts. We're being told that even superior efforts by artificial intelligence cannot yet understand how this can possibly be. And some are suggesting that AI never will. But in all fairness, it's also something we all too often forget. Our response is to simply take the gift of life entirely for granted, having not asked to be born, as one person once reminded me. We simply play the game until it ends. You just don't have the cards, said one world leader to another this past week. Talking over the other, it appeared that he entirely missed the response. But the microphone didn't. My country is not playing cards. The other possible response is gratitude for the true gift and the use of what is so freely given to its very best advantage for all. With thanks not just to one another, but to the Creator, to the true giver. And lastly, I suppose, today can be a powerful reminder that never is the love and mercy offered us through Jesus Christ ever earned. Neither is it ever deserved. Not just during this season, but at all times, we can open ourselves to the real gifts and store up for ourselves treasures where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's grace. Not grace as most dictionaries define it. Just for fun, I looked up the top three definitions. Grace is, says the dictionary, elegance and refinement of movement or behavior. Courteous goodwill. To do honor or credit to grace by one's presence. But the grace to which I refer, you may never hear about anywhere else these days, certainly not on CNN, seldom in the supermarket, on fields of battle, in the halls of government, or on city streets. A theological dictionary might say, grace is the spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor in the salvation of sinners, and the divine influence operating in individuals for their regeneration and sanctification. And that's a mouthful. It's as ever needful now as it's ever been. The barriers to grace were once known as the seven deadly sins. And I won't bore you now. You can look them up on any device connected to the internet. But they are all neat ways of reminding us just how self gets in the way of service. Now, of course, you may feel you do pretty well at avoiding those failings and fallings. Good for you. But just ask those who are close to you, your partner, your children, your parents, or your best friends. With a little nudging, they'll come up with examples. Bad temper, feeling sorry for yourself, being envious, being angry. There are compelling reasons to do Ash Wednesday. And as you receive the smudge, perhaps be reminded about its honesty. Be reminded about the miracle of life that you are, and that the reconciliation we so desperately need is entirely free of charge. Pray that as outmoded as it may seem, it's an outward sign of an inward grace. Perhaps two sacraments in one. Penance and absolution. And pray that Lent is about far more than just giving up chocolate.
Our service continues at the foot of page 281. Dear friends in Christ, every year at this time of the Christian Passover, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a time to prepare for this celebration and to renew our life in the Paschal mystery. We begin this holy season by remembering our need for repentance and for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We begin our journey to Easter with the sign of ashes, an ancient sign, speaking of the frailty and uncertainty of human life, and marking the penitence of the community as a whole. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Lord, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination, penitence, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. So we kneel as we are able before our Creator and Redeemer. We'll say the psalm together. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. And so you are justified when you speak, and upright in your judgment. Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb. For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly. Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. I shall teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from death, O God, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. O God of my salvation, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Had you desired it, I would have offered you sacrifice, but you take no delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you, to one another, and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth, that we have sinned by our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, Lord. We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives. We confess to you, Lord, our self-indulgent appetites and ways, our exploitation of other people. We confess to you, Lord, our anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves.
We confess to you, Lord,
our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts and our dishonesty in daily life and work.
We confess to you, Lord,
our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us.
We confess to you, Lord.
Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt towards those who differ from us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who would come after us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us.
Hear us, Lord, your mercy is great.
Almighty God, from the dust of the earth, you have created us. May these ashes be for us a sign of our mortality and penitence. And remember that only by your gracious gift we are given eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. If you wish to receive the imposition of ashes, please come up the center aisle and I will impose those ashes upon you. We continue on page 285, around two-thirds of the way down the page. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation.
That we may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord,
bring us all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace.
Thank you.
Our service continues on page 193. Merciful God, turn us from sin to faithfulness, accepting our offering, and prepare us to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please kneel or sit as you are able. Our service continues with the Lord's Prayer on page 211. And now, as our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And on page 213, we use sentence number 7. We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we have firm, we shall reign with him.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. We continue on page 214. God of compassion, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you reconciled your people to yourself. Following his example of prayer and fasting, may we obey with you, with willing hearts, and serve one another in holy love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Middle of page 214, we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and with all for whom we pray, this night and forevermore. Amen. Amen.